Game one.
Damn, dude. Damn.
It's been a minute since we felt like we really, really had a chance. You know what I mean?
I like to call myself an optimistic fan. I like to call myself a believer. But, man, there were so many times when we went on that 507 run where we didn't score a point. I'm sitting there going, fuck me. Is this going to happen to us? You know? And I know there's more of you guys out there that are like me that are sitting there going, fuck, 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 right? But we just got to remember, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and we'll be okay, guys.
Yeah, I mean, as that game got closer down the stretch, there were a series of things that felt like we were going to really regret. And I know we won the game, so we don't want to come in and be like all downer and stuff, but the nice thing is coach and the team, they're going to prepare like they lost the game. And that's what you want. You don't want to come in and win a game and think, okay, we just got to come out and play the exact same way. And then the other team makes all these adjustments, and then you're not prepared for the adjustments, and they come out and punch you in the mouth, and then, you know, whatever. So we're going to make the adjustments too. There's a lot of adjustments to be made. Trey Murphy played incredible. You've got to watch out for Herb Jones. These two guys are really good. In fact, that final shot that CJ took at the buzzer, I looked at it, and Trey Murphy was wide open, dude.
I know, dude.
He had hit 5 threes that game, I think, already. I mean, we dodged a bullet. We dodged a fucking bullet. We got away with one. And being the one seed against the 8, you don't really want to feel that way. So I don't want to pick on Coach D with that challenge call, or Tony Brothers or the NBA league office for overruling what has been the whole precedent for the entire time since the challenge, which is, if they overturn a challenge, even if the challenge doesn't go in your favor, you still get the timeout back in the challenge.
That's what coach was thinking in his mind, right? He's like, even if they overturn this, I still get a free timeout,
right?
And I still get that challenge back, because they will overturn this one way or the other. Like, that's what his mindset was. I don't hate him for it. In fact, you know, when you're thinking about it in the process, like, hey, even if they overturn this on our side, we still get a free timeout here. And you know what I'm saying? So, like, I applaud him for doing it, because, but the NBA, that was fucked, bro. Like, all season long, challenge gets overturned, you get your challenge back. The challenge was successful. Now, they all of a sudden said the challenge was unsuccessful, and that's why they gave it back, because they're trying to make it the Thunder didn't have possession of the ball, so that means that they're unsuccessful. But I guarantee you, I don't know what the NBA office will say. I'm sure they've already come out with something, but they will address this, because this was not, I don't think this was done right. And I don't think Brothers interpreted the rule properly. So I think that's going to be something else.
Dude, I'm telling you, it was the NBA because Brothers made the announcement that the Thunder were going to maintain their timeout, right, to the entire stadium. Yeah. And then the NBA called him up and made him come back over there, and they changed it. And then when he was telling Coach D, I could read his lips, I think, anyway. And he was like, they told me that there's nothing I can do, which I fucking hate.
Wow. Like,
I hate it where there's a league source that is telling an official, and the official is looking at the coach and saying, there's nothing I can do because they told me something, and it's a one-way street. I don't like that. I don't like that at all. We've seen it go on with them adding a point or taking away a point from a 3-point bucket in the middle of a play and things like that. I don't like it. There needs to be some sort of accountability. Who's making that call? I just hate it being this, you know, Secaucus, New Jersey, league source, league representative, rando person. Like, put a name on it. I want to know who's making these decisions.
I've said for a long time that they needed somebody to back their shit up. Yeah. Another ref that called stuff like this. It did in a strange way, but luckily we didn't need to challenge anything else.
Luckily
it didn't need to have to. It didn't come down to that, because if it did come down to another challenge, it would have been a different outcome. And I mean, let's just give the Pelicans credit, bro. Like, they came out with a game plan to play as physical, to get into our face. Their game plan number one was to hold us under 100 points.
Yeah.
Okay. Why was that important? Well, it's because one time all season we were held under 100 points. That was against the Denver Nuggets, and that was October 28th, I believe. And we lost 95 to 100 and something. Third game of the season, guys. That was the last time we were held under 100 points. So you know the Pelicans went in there with the mindset, we're going to bully them, we're going to push them around, we're going to make them eat their cake, and we're going to be physical to them and hold them under 100 points. They did that, but man, bro, when that five-minute mark went up that we had gone scoreless for 5 minutes, I was like, where are we going to get our bucket from? Where are we going to get our bucket from? And Shea came up and stepped up and hit that mid-range shot, and it was over after that because we weren't going to look back.
One thing that struck me, and there's a lot of big plays, that block by Chet down the stretch there on Larry Nance Jr. when he went up, he felt like he had that, well, really, how about five blocks by Chet, first rookie for the Thunder ever have a double-double. Or how about that defense down the stretch by Cason Wallace on CJ? I mean, really, we could
How about that call from Coach?
Yeah. I mean, for the biggest defensive plays of the game to come from rookies. It's pretty incredible. But like we saw so many things this game. There were times it was very difficult where it felt like nothing was going, but the game never got too wide open one way or the other. I think 7 was probably the biggest lead either team ever really was able to extract.
I think there was 7 or I think we had a 12-point lead. They had a 7-point lead or something like that at some point.
We could step away from it, and the next thing you know, they would hit a couple of threes and they'd evaporate. It felt like down the stretch when they got the lead, they might not give it up. We were down, I think, 4.
With
five. But just like, I don't know, dude.
Minutes to go.
Yeah, and next thing you know, with like 90 seconds left, we were up by 3. I don't even know how that happened.
It was insane.
It was just, I mean, I know I could recall the buckets, but just the sequence, the shot taking that the Pelicans demonstrated, I thought was a little bit poor down the stretch. And I think that's where you'll see the difference in seeding, really the difference in regular season record come in, is because we really understand how to close a game. But I would say this, down that stretch, if they had Zion out there and it was such a close game, it would have probably been an entirely different situation. So I would say we need to get better. Like, this is going to be a playoffs of constant improvement.
Yeah.
You look at what we got. We got three players out there who balled. And everybody else who stepped up off the bench, I think we had like 26 off the bench or something like that. Total, like the next highest score outside of Dub, Chet, and Shea was 6 points. So who's going to be that person who steps up next? I feel like we stole a game. I don't think we should have won this game. I'm glad we did, because it would have been an enormous amount of pressure coming into game 2. But we would have been all right if we had fallen behind one game. I want to finish this off quickly. You look at that schedule coming up, Dave. There's a lot of rest if we get this done in 4. If we push this to 6 or 7, you know, it goes one game in between, one day in between games rest. So we need to get the business taken care of so we can move on and start thinking about that second round.
Man, I 100% agree. And let's just be honest, out of all the 5-minute runs that we've gone on all season long without scoring, last night was the most uncomfortable.
Yeah, it was.
Jay Will hit a 3 at 6 minutes and 50 seconds left in the fourth quarter, guys. All right. That was Jay Dub hit a free throw, right? But that 6 minutes and 50 seconds was the last time that we had put a bucket on. And then the next bucket was Shea's with 1 minute and 37 seconds left in the game. I don't know how we were able to hold on to that win. I just don't. Like, you look at every scenario with that 5 minutes and 30 something seconds, 40 seconds without putting a bucket on the scoreboard, you would think that the Pelicans would be able to get a double digit lead by that, but they weren't. Why? Our defense really slowed them down. Like, it made it difficult. Yeah, they did some crazy things in that 5 minutes, but they only made it a 12-point comeback in 5 minutes, man. like that is not a good comeback. If you were to take 5 minutes to come back from 12 points down, you're fucked. Yes, they play great defense on us. Yes, they shut our lanes down. But what in the world, man? They had an opportunity more than once to get to that lead and actually get a lead that was bigger than 2 points. Because when they got to 90 points, that was it. I mean, that was it. And they got to 90 points with 1 minute. And let's just pull that up, man. They got to 90 points with Brandon Ingram's shot with 3 minutes and 34 seconds left in the game.
Yeah.
So that means they went 3 minutes and 40 seconds with only hitting 2 points. 2 points. So people want to talk about our 5 minutes without scoring. Cool, that's fine. But what about their 3 minutes when it actually mattered and they only get 2 points up on the board? So our defense matched their defense spectacular in the last 3 minutes. So good job, guys.
Yeah, you got to be able to turn off the faucet when you need to. Yeah, I mean, there's going to be a lot to learn. Like I said at the beginning, coach is going to dig into this film. The player is going to find things they can do better. There's going to be a lot of improvements. But one guy I feel like really showed us a new gear. We already know what Dub can do. But what he did, I think he put up 18 points in the first three quarters. I'm not sure that he scored in the fourth. Or you said he
hit a free throw. A free throw in the fourth.
Okay, so he had 17 in the first three, I think is correct. And so we're talking about a really, really incredible game from Dub. Those three quarters, he was the only player who could do what he wanted freely on our team. Mm-hmm. And even saying it freely is a little bit loose. I mean, he was really guarded heavily, but the way that he shoots the ball off balance, the way that he creates off the dribble, those things played really well early in this game. And it put him in a spot where they had to figure out how to stop Dub. If they're really worried about Dub, then it's going to help us quite a bit. It's going to open things up for Shea a little bit. It's going to open things up for Dort quite a bit. It's going to open things up for Josh. It's going to open things up for the bench. So it's really important that Dub is on their minds. And then I think what we saw from Chet was big, but I also think he can take it to another level.
I do too. I think Chet has a lot more to give out there, even though he had 15, 11, 5, 2, and 1. So, I mean, he'll get better. But let's just keep on expanding off of J-Dub for a second here, man, because what he did last night was really great. Because here he is, second-year guy, and he's already proven in the NBA that the traditional way of the NBA is you come in as a rookie, you do well, people find a way to shut you off and close the faucet down, right? The second year. Makes you come back your third year, come back harder, right? Well, some fucked up, twisted way for J-Dub, second year got better. There's no like second year regress. Second year, he's gotten better and more efficient and better and better and better. So for me, I'm seeing this and I'm seeing what's happening with J-Dub and I'm saying, okay, who was he forced to be matched up against last night? Well, he had Herb Jones on him. He had Trey Murphy on him. He had Brandon Ingram on him. He had just had a mix of guys that were just going at him at all different angles. Now, in that fourth quarter, right, when we were all having trouble scoring, it wasn't just J-Dub. It wasn't just Shea. It was everybody. And it wasn't that our shots weren't good shots, because I guarantee you, if you guys look back, you'll see like Shea's shot, three-point shot goes almost all the way down and then pops right back out. Like, our shots were money shots. They just weren't going in. And I get it. J-Dub is sitting there going, like, I could have had 26 points. I could have had 28 points. Yeah, he could have dominated like that. But here's the thing, though. That fourth quarter, when they stuck their better player and put him on J-Dub, right? And they're shutting him down. And they brought guys off the bench trying to stop him. They threw everything at him. And J-Dub was able to weather the storm, take it on the chin, step up in a huge way and move on. And that was the most impressive thing about it all. And I get really excited about when I look at what J-Dub is doing and how he's produced his game in such a way that is actually something that people can sit back and enjoy. Last year, I feel like he was so sporadic that some people didn't know what they were looking at. They're like, well, you guys call that J-Dub's going to be great, but besides you guys, who else is calling it? Now everybody's looking at J-Dub and saying, dude, this guy's a star. Like, this guy is really good, and he's just not really good on defense. He's not just really good on offense. He has an all-around game that is so spectacular. In 2 or 3 years, he's going to be one of the better players in the league.
Yeah, it was incredible, dude. It was really incredible, and I enjoyed what I saw from Wiggins. Wiggins off the bench there, just playing everywhere.
That and one?
And one, defense, the getting on the ground for loose balls. You know, he really picked it up. So great minutes from him. Overall, dude, it was a really incredible game. One of the things that just made it so incredible was the energy. The energy outside the arena. The energy inside the arena was electric. It was weird. I kind of had this like thought before the game. I was like, are we going to remember how to, like, as a fan base, how to respond to a playoff game? Because it was almost like, honestly, we've been sleepwalking through the regular season. I know it's gotten better. The games have gotten better. The crowd is loud. J-Dub said, welcome back, Loud City. But there's a difference in a playoff atmosphere that we haven't experienced, really, if I'm being honest with you, like, since 2016. You know, we tried to muster it up. We tried to muster it up for those years where, you know, it was Russ versus everybody. We tried to muster it up when it was Russ and Paul George, and we were getting knocked out of the first round every year. But the spirit, the soul of Loud City had left. And we were there, but it was like out-of-body experience, you know what I mean? And now you get the sense that what's being built right now is just going to keep being built on top of itself. Like, this isn't something that is going to start and stop. This takes me back to Sam Presti, what he said really at the beginning of the rebuild. And he made a promise, I felt like. I took it as a personal promise, you know, to the whole city of Oklahoma City. And he said, the next time that we make it back to the playoffs, I want it to be an arrival, not an appearance. And I really felt like the city understood that. When you saw them preparing, it wasn't like, okay, guys, we're afraid of being hurt again. There was no sense of like, what happens if we fall in love and this goes away? Like, they got it. Like, this is our arrival. And it feels pretty fucking great.
Man, I'm sitting there, turn on the TV. You know, of course, I'm watching the beginning part, but I knew it was real because I watched this interview with Shea just before the game. And the interview was something along the lines of, Shea, how is this going to feel the first time you're going to play at Oklahoma City for a playoff game? And Shea's like, and he's then I think it was whoever the question was a little bit more said, you know, your first year you played with Oklahoma City, it was for the play-in and it was in Disneyland or World or whatever. Yeah, it
was, there was no play-in back then, but yeah, you're right.
Yeah, but it was just going in there. They had that 8 games or whatever. And they played as a so it was the beginning of the play-in. It was the birth idea of the play-in at that point. And so I'm looking at it and I'm listening to Shea's like I've never experienced the Oklahoma City Thunder crowd before with an Oklahoma City Thunder jersey for a playoff game. And then fast forward to just before the game, and you know they're scanning everybody, you know. Right on middle court, just before tip off, they're showing J Dub, and he looks nervous as shit, bro. Like, he's like, what the fuck? You know, the announcers are talking, but you can barely hear them even on the TV because the crowd is so loud. And then I'm scanned to Shea, and Shea's just looking around and is like, you know, wide eyed. Scanned to Chet. And Chet's like, well, this is, I wasn't expecting this. I mean, you can barely hear the people talking. I mean, that's how loud it is right at that point. And it was just like, this is insane. Like, these guys don't know what they're getting into. They don't, because most of these guys, but the last time the Oklahoma City Thunder were in the playoffs, most of these guys were like, what, you know, middle school, you know, like, yeah. That's my point is like, it's been so long since it's mattered, since you've seen Loud City to be its biggest and best, that some of these guys don't even know what it looks like or feels like. So last night was our first introduction, and I guarantee you guys, they'll never forget that.
Dude, it was incredible. It was incredible. And yeah, there's a moment after Chet hit that three. So I think that was our first bucket of the game, right? And I swear, like half the fans that you could see on the TV on the right side, all wearing their white shirts, were like, fuck it, guys. We're not going to sit down for the whole goddamn game, right? They were just like, we're not going to sit down. And Like, they were just kind of being, like, in the moment, and then everybody around them started sitting down, and they're like, no. And eventually everybody sat down, but you could tell that the people around them were like, hey, man, it's a 7-game series. Hey, man, it's a 7-game series. And they're like, fine, but if we get to game 7 in any series, I'm not sitting down for the whole goddamn game. I could just see it on their faces. They were anxious. They want to be the fans. The other thing I noticed, Dave, was the crowd was, like, less rich white guys than I've ever seen before. There were tons of families of people of every type of person. It was incredible. I was like, the Oklahoma City crowd, previous rounds of greatness, it was very WASPy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, dude. It was too stuffy. It was, all right. I mean, let's just be honest. Two white grandmother and grandfather. Like,
yeah.
I remember back in the old days when they would scan over the crowd, there was always like an angry grandma and grandpa screaming at somebody in Oklahoma City. You know, like, it was just always giving us a shitty name. But then you got guys like, you know, one of our daily listeners, Thunder Up 85, his name is Tyson. He went to the game from Joplin last night. Bro, what a fucking game to go to. And I got to say, Tyson, like, when push comes to shove, being in that atmosphere, I want to know from you, how does that change how you look at the Thunder? Because I guarantee you, I couldn't go to a game like that and not walk away and just basically, like, the biggest boner in life, like, straight up. Just couldn't.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely have trouble sleeping that thing off. But I'll say this, man.
Walk it.
I've seen some news coming out about maybe like them doing the outside watch parties again. Remember those?
Oh, dude. Insane.
When they shut that fucker down, I was so pissed. I think there was like a shooting or something that was not even at the thing.
Was there a shooting?
It was years ago, man. Dude. It was years and years ago. They used to have the watch parties on the big screens, and something happened on the fringe element of it. But anyway. You know, that's what happens.
This is why I wish, you know, back in the day, we still owned that 5 acres in Deep Edmond, bro, because I would set up a huge screen and invite every motherfucker out there to watch the game, because that's just crazy, bro. Man, I'm looking at the stats last night, and I got to say, like, I didn't feel like Josh Giddey only played 20 minutes last night. Like, he was in there a lot, I felt like. I'm not big on plus minuses, but I want to point this out to a lot of people, because there's some people that get really stuck on plus minuses. Josh was the only guy besides J-Dub that was in the plus side for our starters, all right? When Josh was in the game, we were +7. He only played 20 minutes. You got to think about that, like, yes, Josh didn't necessarily play really his best game. 2 points, three assists, 3 rebounds, 1 block. But the reality of what Josh was being asked to do, and a lot of it was getting to the lane. And what was the Pelicans doing last night? They were shutting that lane off and making it extremely physical, which is what Josh's game is. Like, get to that lane and spread the ball around. There's like 3 times that I felt like Josh got to the lane and he picked up the ball and he didn't know what to do with it, you know, because it shut off every single lane. And essentially, when Josh was in the game, they were so hyper-focused on shutting Josh off and making sure that he didn't pass the ball that they left motherfuckers wide open all over the place. Just Josh couldn't get them the ball. He had to pass the ball to somebody, and whether it was Chet or whether it was J-Dub or whether it was Dort that got the ball out of their hands quickly to get the next guy, that was what Josh had to do last night. And to me, like, I don't want to sit here and say Josh was useless out there, because he wasn't. Like, what he was doing was powerful for this team. And in fact, when he wasn't in the game, I noticed that our defensive rebounding kind of suffered. So, again, I'm looking at Josh and I'm saying this wasn't the best game that I wanted him to see in the 20 minutes that he played. But I'm not going to be up there hating on him, because if you look at how he was able to do the things that he was able to do and get the defensive rebounds and get the ball up the court and start our offense the way he was, like, to me, like, it was a successful game for him.
And It's great to have playoff basketball back. It'd be really nice to see what happens in round two and on. I think this is going to be a really incredible, you know, playoff run for us. But you look at a team like the Timberwolves or even the Nuggets, and you look at their level of production they get all the way down the roster, and you know for sure that we're going to have to improve if we're going to make it to the conference finals or if we're going to make it to the finals. That improvement is going to have to happen entirely from film sessions and on-the-fly game improvements. But I know we can do it. I look at the team we have now, and I know that we're going to be a better version of that team as this season wraps up. So even though it seems crazy to think that the team we see now is going to be better, they will be. That's part of it.
Yeah,
we've gotten better every single time, like every few weeks, every week this season, probably we've gotten better throughout the season. So why wouldn't the playoffs be more of that? Every time we played the same team twice back to back, the second time was better for us. Why wouldn't we see more of that as we go on with this playoffs? So it's an exciting time. It's an exciting time. A lot of people are getting into it. So we are too. We're pretty fucking amped. We were texting during the game up to like midnight. I think it was pretty goddamn late out here on the East Coast, but pretty fantastic to see this win. We're ready for the next fucking one, bro. Let's get it done.
Yeah, bro. And we got Wednesday, 9:30 Eastern. So 8:30 Central on TNT will be game two. So listen, the rest is here, guys. I don't like it because the more rest that they get, the more chances that Zion will come back. But honestly, at this point, I'm just pumped for these guys. I think Zion's still a week away. So at this point, you know, he's got to go out there and play. So we'll see you guys probably tomorrow because we'll have a lot to talk about. So
we ain't scared of Zion.